Welcome back to another Daily Walk. Well, today we want to talk about this booklet by John MacArthur, which is called Keeping a Pure Mind. And I will leave a link to this down in the description. This is only available over on the GTY website that I was able to find. And this is a really good book because ultimately, if you think about sin really almost every instance starts in the mind. Now, there might be reactionary sins that we do, but for the most part, sin starts in the mind. In fact, that's what James tells us. And actually, I don't even remember if he quoted this in the book. It might be in there somewhere. There's a ton of scripture being a MacArthur book. But in James chapter 1 and verses 13 down to 15, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then, when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. But you see that it says when he is tempted and carried away by his own lust. That ultimately is where the issue of sin comes from. Most sin comes from some degree of premeditation. We are thinking about how something might, that's titillating. Think about the first sin in the garden with Adam and Eve, and the Eve is tempted to, ooh, look at this fruit. Oh, it's so good. And it says she looked at it and saw it was pleasing to the eye and for food. You see that temptation. So with this little booklet, John MacArthur goes in. It takes all of 20 or so minutes to read. But he goes in and talks about how sin pervades us through our thought life more than anything else. And that ultimately is the root of a lot of it. So some sins, of course, are manifested in the physical world. But there's even elements of sin. In fact, he mentioned some of them, which are actually sins specifically of the mind. And the one that he quotes talking about, he whoever lusts after her in his mind also is guilty of sin. Now, it's probably lesser of a sin to pleasure such things in your mind than it is to actually go and do it. But the point being is that it is still sin, no matter what you're doing. And so that's really what the premise of the book is. Keeping a pure mind and helping you keep a pure mind will help keep you free of sin. In fact, one of my favorite verses from Psalm, in Psalm 101, I believe it's verse 2 or verse 3, and it says, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. And that is one of those true elements of considering the factions of sin in our life. It really starts with our input. What do we input? Input, output. We start inputting things into our lives which are wretched and evil and wicked, and we get to the point where just evil starts entering and permeating our lives, and that ultimately is the problem. So what I really liked is he goes into three basic premises of how the mind sins, and when I read these, it was just astonishing to stop and think about. Think of these in your own life. So how the mind sins. The first is the sins of remembering. Many of us, like I came to Christ much later in life, I have lived the depths of what sin is. Now, I have a friend who was a missionary's kid, and he cannot point towards any major one sin that he's done. I mean, he did not engage in fornication. He did not engage in any form of adultery. He did not, he did not really harbor hatred or anger. I'm not painting a picture that my friend lived a perfect life, but the sins that he did were a lot of what we would look at and say, oh, those are fairly minor sins, like the Martin Luther sins as it was. Remember, the priest would tell Martin Luther, hey, next time you come here for confession, please make sure you have actually committed a sin first, okay? But he does also recognize, he is a good gentleman with good theology, and he says, yeah, I am a sinner. And because he recognizes there's a lot of sins probably in his mind that he knows are sins, going back to that discussion that Jesus says, whoever lusted in his mind. I mean, it's possible he looked at a wonderful woman sometime and just thought in his mind, oh man, I'd like to hook up with her. And let that possibly go into the realm of sin, but he never got to the point where he physically did it. The challenge that some of us in my position have coming to Christ later in life is I did engage in a lot of the major sins. And sometimes when you look back over that life, you go, oh, that sin felt so good. Because sin feels good in a moment. You know, it's the same argument with the drug dealers and stuff. You know, if drugs are so bad, why are all these people on drugs? Well, because in the moment it feels great. And that's how sin is. It wreaks havoc on your soul. It wreaks havoc on your life. But in the midst of doing it, it feels pleasurable at the moment. And so many of us have walked a life of the pleasures of sin, even though we know in our soul it has wrecked us and we hate it. Yet in Romans 7, right, Paul's discussing this fight of his own, that he has with his own sin, as he's discussing, you know, I hate the things that I do, but oh, I so love to do the things that I do in the flesh. But the Spirit completely hates it. And being overcome by the Spirit, we have this deep remorse over the horrible things that we've done in our past. Sorry for that light, man. That sun has just crept out of nowhere. But the point is that when we live our life in sin like this, we sometimes can echo back and think back to, oh, those great sins. Oh, they were wonderful sins. And that's the first way our mind sins. It gets into this point where we remember the sins of the past, and we don't sometimes think of the consequences as much as we think of the good things about it. That really is what leads to lusts and adulteries and things like that. How many times did somebody fall into adultery because they just remember the times of being a free lover back before they were bunkered down by the ball and chain, you know? It's those sins of the mind that is leading them to that area. The second is sins of scheming. He gives us a bullet point list here, mostly of all scripture verses. He says the second way the mind can sin is by plotting sins of the future. And scripture is full of these. Did he quote the section, one of my favorite ones from Amos? I don't see it in here. But, you know, what are those who sit on their beds and dream up night? They were dreaming for the Sabbath to be over so they can go out and engage in the sins that they're scheming on their beds. That was in Amos. He doesn't bring those verses up here, but he does bring us several Psalms and Proverbs. A good man will obtain favor from the Lord, but he will condemn him who devises evil. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. Will they go astray who devise evil? But kindness and truth will be close to those who devise good. Evil plans are an abomination of the Lord, but pleasant words are pure. The Lord hates a heart and devises wicked plans. The verses for all those that we just read were Proverbs 12:2, 12:20, 14:22, 15:26, and 16 and 18. And so what we see here is when we sit down and we scheme the sins coming out, we can scheme what is going on. And that is a way that our mind engages in sin, is by scheming. The third is sins of imagining. Sometimes we look back and go, oh, I wonder what it would be like to do this. This is kind of where Jesus is getting at in that one section. Everyone that looks after a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in her heart. And that is in Matthew 5:28, of course. So sometimes we see the things going on and we imagine the ways of sin. And as we imagine these ways of sin in our life, then these are ways our mind sins. As we start getting into these types of sins, and how long is it before we start getting out and going, maybe I'll just dabble a little bit. It starts with imagining what it's going to be like. And then you actually start scheming ways to get into it. And then, of course, you remember. And in retrospect, I wish MacArthur might have reversed these three. Because we start with imagining what sin might be like. And then we actually scheme the way to do the sin. And then we remember the sins of the past. I like that organization so much better. I don't know if they're going to do a reprint of this thing. But it's still good how it is. And being a whopping 17 pages, maybe a rewrite may not be in order. But then he ends the booklet talking about discerning the thoughts and the intents, recognizing what we need to do, and then finally concluding with the point of taking every thought captive. Of course, you remember that particular scripture. We must confess and forsake the sins. 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Sorry, that verse wasn't printed here. It was just referenced here. But we also, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellent thing and anything worthy of praise, and dwelling in these things, Philippians 4:8. So we see these elements here looking at what our world is lending to, just focus on the good things and not the bad and the evil things. And so the next is feed on the Word of God. If we are perpetually living our life looking at the sin of our world, then we are recognizing what we're doing in that instance is we are feeding the imaginations, we are feeding the scheming, we're feeding all of these things. But if we are actually focusing instead on God's Word, it's going to lead us free from such sins. And then, of course, avoid evil attractions and cultivate the love of God. So really, keeping a pure mind is a critically important thing that we must do in our life with Christ. So we're going to leave this one here. Again, I will have a link to this booklet down below. It is called Keeping a Pure Mind on gty.org. And with that, thanks for watching. I hope that you enjoy your daily walk in our Lord.
Thank you for tuning in. Our Walk in Christ podcast is a listener-supported presentation. For more information about how you can help, check out ourwalkinchrist.com/support or our Patreon page at patreon.com/TomM. That's TOMM. Digital and paperback books are available on several online bookstores or at our website. Once again, the website is ourwalkinchrist.com.